All right. The pasuk tells us in Parashas Emor that when Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael and they planted the produce, they harvested the grains, they weren't permitted to eat from the new grain until they would bring a Karban Ha'omer on the second day of Pesach from the Reishis Kitzirchem, from the first shearings of the new crop of grain, as a Karban Ha'omer on the second day of Pesach, then the new grain from that season became permitted. But before then, the pasuk tells us over here in the second line of Vaisalos, Vavechem Vekoli Vecharma Loisoichlu, that's referring to bread or the roasted grains or maybe a flour made out of the grains, and this is referring only to the Chameshes Minei Dagon, those that could be referred to as Lechem, right, that could produce bread. So Vilechem Vekoli Vecharmel, in all of its forms, Loisoichlu Adetzim Ayom, and say you're not allowed to eat it until you bring the carbon ha'omer on the second day of Pesach from Reishis Kitzirchem Elakayin, from the first shearings of that season of grain. So before you bring the carbon ha'omer, the grain from that season is what's known as chadash. In the language of Chazal, it was known as chadash, it's the new grain. You're not allowed to eat the new grain until you bring the carbon ha'omer on the second day of Pesach, at which point all of the grain that was in existence from that season is now transformed into yashan. It's become not new grain, but rather into old grain. So this is the prohibition of eating new grain until the bringing of the carbon ha'omer on the second day of Pesach. What happens bizman she'ein beis hamikdash kayim? Right, when there's a beis hamikdash, you can bring the carbon ha'omer on the second day of Pesach, and all the new grain will be permitted. What about when there's no beis hamikdash? So the pasuk also says not only ad havi achem es karbon olekechem, but ad etzem ayom hazeh, until the midst of that day, meaning the second day of Pesach. So the Gemara over here, Maseches Menachos, the Samaches Mebeis, quotes the name of Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu. Both Rav and Shmuel said that the pasuk here has two endpoints. Either ad etzem ayom hazeh, the grain is prohibited from the new season until that day, or ad haviyachem es karban olekechem. Why the two different descriptions seem to be contradictory? So Rav and Shmuel both said it's talking about two different time periods. Bizman shebeis hamikdash kaim, and you bring the karban olekechem, so the new wheat is prohibited until the bringing of the karban olekechem the second day of Pesach. However, bizman that there is no beis hamikdash and there is no karban olekechem, then the new grain becomes permitted ad etzem ayom hazeh, the day itself permits the grain, even in the absence of the carbon ha'emer. The day itself permits the grain. And that's why we have these two different descriptions. When should the grain be permitted? So the Gemara assumes initially that it should be permitted at the beginning of the day. In the absence of the carbon ha'emer, the beginning of the day should be matir, the grain. And then the Mishnah quotes from Yochanan ben Zakkai, who of course lived at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and was misaken, he enacted many things, zeicha l'mikdash. So one of the things that he enacted was Shiyehei Yoim Hanef Kulo Yoser. That even though it sounds like, at least initially in the Gemara, Midoy Raisa, the grain should have been permitted already from the beginning of the day, Ad Etzema Yoim Hazeh, when there's a Beis HaMikdash and the opportunity to bring the Karban HaOmer, then it's permitted with the Karban HaOmer, but in the absence of the Karban HaOmer, it's permitted at the beginning of the day. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Misakin Shiyehei Yoim Hanef Kulo Yoser, the day of the waving of the Karban HaOmer, Hanef, which is the second day of Pesach, should all be prohibited. You're not allowed to have the new grain until the end of the day. Why? Mehera Yibana HaMikdash. Because maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built quickly on the second day of Pesach. And if it is built on the second day of Pesach, then the morning isn't Matir, the new grain. You have to wait till the Karban HaOmer. And they won't be able to bring the Karban HaOmer till later on in the day. See, when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence and functioning normally, the Mishnah there says you have the right to assume that the Kohanim, who were Zrizim, who were running to do the mitzvahs quickly, presumably would bring the Karban HaOmer at the earliest possible time, and therefore, once Chatzos HaYom came, you could assume that they already brought the Karban HaOmer. However, in the when the Beis HaMikdash is not Bibinyano, we have to be concerned that maybe we'll build the Beis HaMikdash at any moment, and at that point, the beginning of the day won't be Matir the Omer, the new wheat. It will only be with the Karban HaOmer that's brought later in the day. And maybe we won't have time, or we'll be so excited, or so under such such bahala, there'll be so much going on at the time of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, we won't have the opportunity to bring the Karban HaOmer early in the day. It won't be until later in the day, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Misakin Sheyoyim Hanef Kulo Yosa, that the entire second day of Pesach, one is not permitted to eat the new grain until the end of the day. Until the end of the day. Because maybe, you never know, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. The Gemara ends up concluding that perhaps even Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai here meant to espouse, to articulate a din d'oraisa. Because the pasuk says, ad etzem hayoyim hazeh, until that day, or the midst of that day, could mean until the end of the day, not necessarily the beginning of the day. Maybe we say, ad v'yad b'chlal. until and including the day, you know, of when it's when the deadline is. So maybe it's not the beginning of the day that's mater the new wheat; it's the end of the day. And you have to wait to the end of the day, even though the Mishnah says hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The Gemara concludes that hiskin v'darash, that he didn't establish something new; he didn't make a takana; he popularized or he explained. Or he reminded people, really, right? Because Masha Beis HaMikdash Kayim, no one remembered this halacha. They all knew that the new wheat became mutter with the Karban HaOmer. It's only in the absence of Karban HaOmer, at the time of Korban Beis HaMikdash, that then it becomes permitted, you know, at Etzem HaYom HaZeh, based on, you know, on the day itself. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had to be Masakin. He had to remind people, whoa, 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 until now, you might have been permitted in the middle of the day of the second day Pesach. Now you have to wait to the end of the day, because it's Ad V'Ad B'chal. So even though he uses the language of Hiskin, that he established, it might just be that he reminded people of what was the din all along, that in the absence of the Karban HaOmer, it's not the beginning of the day that's matir, it's the end of the day that's matir. Okay, this is the pasuk in the Chumash, a mitzvah midoraisa to bring, or an iser midoraisa to eat from the new grain, the new crop, until the second day of Pesach, or until the bringing of the Karban HaOmer, Bizman HaZeh, where we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, with the second day of Pesach, it would be permitted, and it would not necessarily be at the beginning of the day, but rather at the end of the day. What about in Chutz Laaretz? This is presumably talking about in Eretz Yisrael, as the Pasuk says in Parashas Emor, in introducing this mitzvah, Ki Savoyu El Aretz, when Klal Yisrael will come to the land, and they will plant a new crop of produce, Ukstar Semes Ksira, and you're going to harvest the produce, then you have to bring the Karban HaOmer in order to permit that season's crop. It sounds like it only applies when Klal Yisrael enters into Eretz Yisrael. However, the pasuk concludes, L'doiroi Seichem, for all generations, V'chol Moshvei Seichem, in all of your communities, in all of your, you know, wherever you live. That seems to imply, perhaps even applies, in Chutz Laaretz. So we have contradictory implications from the pasuk itself. The pasuk says it applies when you entered into the land. That could just be the start point. Doesn't necessarily mean to limit it to Eretz Yisrael, but it might. But then the pasuk concludes with Doiroi Seichem, V'chol Moshvei Seichem. Wherever, you know, for all generations, wherever you live. Maybe it means wherever you live in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it doesn't mean wherever you live in Chutz Laaretz, but certainly one can understand, you know, this the limits of this prohibition or this mitzvah in two different ways. And indeed, this is a machlokes hatanoim. The Mishnah says in Maseches Kiddushin, Lamevavah Meralf over here, Oiz Gimel. Call mitzvah shituli ba'aretz. Any mitzvah that is an agricultural mitzvah dependent upon the kedusha of the land, Einan Oihegas Ela ba'aretz. Only applies in Eretz Yisrael. V'she'ena tuli ba'aretz. If it's not an agricultural mitzvah, it doesn't depend on the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. No heges bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. It applies both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in chutz la'aretz, like tzitzis and tefillin, right? It applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz la'aretz. It has nothing to do with the land. Shemitah has to do with the mitzvah tuli ba'aretz. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael. What about chadash? What about the iser of the new wheat until you bring the Karban HaOmer? So the Tanakama seems to be of the opinion that that doesn't apply in Chutz Laaretz. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael, because he says all the mitzvahs atuyas baaretz only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz min ha'argo v'akelayim. There are two exceptions to that rule. There are two agricultural mitzvahs that do apply in Chutz Laaretz. What are they? Arla, you're not allowed to eat the fruit of a tree during the first 3 years of the life of the tree that comes up in Chutz Laaretz. And kelayim. Kelayim also applies in Chutz Laaretz. So even though these are agricultural mitzvahs, and usually agricultural mitzvahs are reserved or limited to Eretz Yisrael, there are two exceptions, and that's Arla and Kelayim. But Chadash is notably absent from that list, which implies that Chadash does not apply in Chutz Laaretz. Chadash only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But then, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, Amar Af HaChadash. Chadash is also an exception to this rule, that Chadash not only, even though it's an agricultural mitzvah, and should have been limited to Eretz Yisrael, based on the rule that the Mishnah stated, right, that all agricultural mitzvahs are limited to Eretz Yisrael, Chadash is an exception to that rule, and also applies in Chutz Laaretz, just like Arla, and just like Kiloyim. So there are three exceptions to the rule, not two exceptions. So the opinion of the Tanakhama is, no, the only two exceptions to the rule of Kol Mitzvah Tuli Baaretz, Eino Heges El Baaretz, is Arla and Kiloyim. You're not allowed to mix the forbidden mixture that grapes and wheat or the other kiloyim, and arla the prohibition to eat the fruit of a tree the first 3 years of the life of the tree that applies to chutz laaretz. Every other agricultural mitzvah is limited to Eretz Yisrael, including the iser of chadash. Rabbi Lazar disagrees, and his opinion is Chadash applies Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz, and we understand where each one is coming from, because there's contradictory implications in the Pasuk itself. The Pasuk says that the mitzvah begins, or the Isser begins, Kisavoy La'aretz, but then it concludes, L'dayrei Seichem, B'chomish V'Seichem. How should we paskin? It's Machlekes Tanoim, in a Mishnah, in Kiddushin. So, based on the general rules of Psak, we probably should have paskin like the Tanakama. Tanakama, Rabbi Lazar, not a bucky in these rules of Psak, you know, when you're doing Machlekes Tanoim, the Rishonim usually dealt with this. It's not stuff we deal with on a daily basis. But the typical rule should have been, we paskin like the Tanakama. However, here, Rav HaRishonim, all the Rishonim, paskin like Rabbi Lazar. The Chadash applies even in Chutz La'aretz, because there is a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Lazar. And whenever you have a Stam Mishnah that usually trumps, overrides all the other Klali Apsak, and there's a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Lazar. Over here, I say, a Mishnah in Arla Paragimel Mishnah Test says the Mishnah, HaChadash Asar Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. Chadash is Asar Min HaTorah everywhere. Everywhere. That implies that it's Asar Midai Raisa everywhere, both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz. That's like the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. And therefore, came out all of the Rishonim conclude like Rabbi Lazar. The Rif, the Rosh, the Rambam, all passing like Rabbi Lazar, the Chadash, the new wheat is prohibited until the second day of Pesach, both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz, Midai Raisa. Midai Raisa. Based on the Pasuk, Godai Raisechem, B'chol Mosh Vaisechem. And that is the way it is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, both in Archaim as well as in Yoredeya, lest you make a mistake or something about it. It's repeated. It says the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Tov Pei Tes Siv Yud at the end of Hilchos Pesach, Osa Lecho Chadash Af Bizman Hazeh. You're not allowed to eat Chadash even today, prior to the second day of Pesach, the new season of wheat, Bein Lechem, Bein Kali, Bein Caramel, whether it comes in the form of bread or the roasted grain or flour, both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz. So in Eretz Yisrael, you have to wait to the night of the 17th, right at the end of the day. In Chutz La'aretz, because of the Sfeika D'Yoma, we keep 2 days of Yontif, so you have to wait to the end of the day of the 17th. You have to wait till to the beginning of the 18th, right? The night of the 18th. Yeah, you have to wait to the end of the day. She'yoma neif kulo aser. It's ad etzem ayom hazeh ad biyad b'chal. You have to wait to the end of the day. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi say the problem is, this was extremely difficult for the Jewish community to deal with, that the new grain was prohibited until the second day of Pesach. Because as we're going to discuss, there's really two times of planting grain in the Northern Hemisphere. There is what's known as winter wheat, that's planted in the fall and then harvested in the spring. And then late spring, and then there's summer wheat, which is planted in the spring and harvested at the end of the summer. So in certain climates, right? So all the winter wheat is all permitted. Why? Because it's the crop that before the second day Pesach. So after it's all planted, it all took root well before the second day Pesach, and therefore it should be permitted. Comes the second day Pesach, it all becomes permitted. So the winter wheat is never a problem of Chadash. It's all planted, it never makes it to market before the second day Pesach. It's planted in the fall and harvested in the spring. So you don't have anything to worry about. The problem is the summer wheat. The problem is the summer wheat because it's planted in the spring after second day Pesach, and then it's harvested at the end of the summer. It can make its way to market sometime in October, sometime around there. So Chadash season becomes, in those few months, in the winter, when the summer wheat is going to make its way to market. The problem is, in Europe, where it was very cold, you couldn't plant in the fall. The ground was already frozen. So the only wheat they had was summer wheat. So all the wheat, during certain parts of the year, was all Chadash. See, here we have two different kinds of wheat. We have winter wheat, we have summer wheat. There, they only had summer wheat, and it was all Chadash, because it was too cold to plant in the fall and harvest in the spring. So they didn't have the winter wheat, which was all planted before the second day Pesach, and then became permitted. Comes the second day Pesach. All they had was summer wheat that was planted after the second day Pesach. So there are a few months where all they had was Chadash, and it became a huge problem. So much so that the minig was to be meikol. And then the question became, well, what are we really relying upon? What is the tzadukula here to consume Chadash when, after all, the Shulchan Aruch paskins and all the Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Lazar, that Chadash applies Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz, and it sounds like it's even an Iser Midai Raisa, and that's the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch. So already in the times of the Rishonim and in the times of the Acharonim, there were many attempts that were made to justify the practice of eating Chadash in Chutz La'aretz, in the European communities, where all they had was Chadash to eat. What exactly were they relying upon in doing so? So there were many attempts made at justifying the minhag, and that's most of the literature that surrounds Chadash today has to do with the justifications that were suggested for this leniency. So the Mishkanes Yaakov takes the boldest approach. Now, the Mishkanes Yaakov was not known as a Mekel. The Mishkanes Yaakov is one of the biggest machmirim. Hilchas Erevin, he's one of the biggest machmirim. It's almost impossible to satisfy and have an Erev that satisfies the Mishkanes Yaakov. But he was a Talmud of the Yeshiva in Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin instructed him to find a limud zchus for this minhag ha'olam to be Mekel and eat chadash and chutz la'aretz. So he comes up with the boldest approach, and he goes back to the Machlokes Tanoim. He says, wait a minute, all the Rishayim and Paschim like Rabbi Elazar, because there's a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Elazar in Masechtas Arga, where the Mishnah tells us, HaChadosh Asim Natar B'chol Mokon. However, says the Mishnah Nisyakov, the truth of the matter is there's a Stam Mishnah also like the Tanakhama. Where's a Stam Mishnah like the Tanakhama? And the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos, because the Mishnah says over here, Ois Dawud in Masechtas Menachos, that what kind of wheat can be used, or what kind of grain, barley, can be used for the Karban Ha'omer? Only grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael. Only grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael. If it didn't grow in Eretz Yisrael, it cannot be used for the carbon ha'omer. Ko carbon ha'sibur v'ha'yachid ban min ha'aretz, mechutz aretz, min ha'chadosh, min ha'yashon, chutz min ha'omer. Except for the yoiber v'shtei alechem she'enon ban, el min ha'chadosh, min ha'aretz. The omer has to come from the new wheat, right, that which is being matir, and it has to come from Eretz Yisrael. So from the very fact that the carbon ha'omer has to come from the new wheat, and it has to come from Eretz Yisrael, implies that it has to come from that which it's being matir, meaning from that where the Issa resided, which implies that the Issa resided only in, right, only in new wheat, and only in Eretz Yisrael. So Mishkanes Yaakov argues, based on this mission of Masechtas Menachos, that we have a Stam mission that seems to, you know, be like the Tanakhama, that the Issa of Chadash is limited to Eretz Yisrael, and does not apply to Chutz La'aretz, which would contradict or counteract the Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, Masechtas Arga, that's like Rabbi Elazar. So argues the Mishnah Yaakov, in fact, we have a Stam Mishnah like each one of the Tanoim, which means that they cancel each other out, and we go back, we revert to the old Klalei Apsak. What's the old Klalei Apsak? We pass in the Machlokes Tanakhama, Rabbi Elazar, we pass like the Tanakhama. So says Mishnah Yaakov, that since we have a Stam Mishnah both like the Tanakhama and like Rabbi Elazar, we should go back to the old Klalei Apsak and pass like the Tanakhama, that Chadash does not apply in Chutz La'aretz at all. Chadash doesn't apply. Now, that is a very bold suggestion, because it's against all of the Rishonim. The Mishkanes Yaakov here is getting into the trenches and picking a fight with the Rambam, the Rif, the Rosh, the Shulchan Aruch, who all paskin like the Tanakhama, or like Rabbi Elazar, that Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz, even midoraisa. Following, though, you know, in the same similar path to the Mishkanes Yaakov, the Taz, over here at the end of Ois Yud Beis, argues based on, I guess, a similar line of, same conclusion, but a different, you know, route in getting there, that we generally have a principle that even though we pass in a certain way on a certain issue, sometimes you have the right to say, Kedai hu Rav Pliny, Lismach ala b'shas achak. Sometimes b'shas achak we can rely on opinions that normally we would not reject, normally we would not rely upon, but b'shas achak, in difficult situations, we can rely on otherwise rejected opinions, because we have a rule of Eilu v'Eilu Diver Elokim Chayim, right? Even when there's a machlekes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, we pass like Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai is not entirely rejected, it's not false. Eilu v'Eilu Diver Elokim Chayim. Each one, the Gemara says, Masechtas Eirvin on Daf Yud Gimel, each one has aspects of truth to it, there's elements of truth to it, and therefore we study opinions that we don't paskin like, because each one has something to contribute to the discussion. And Eilu v'Eilu Diver Elokim Chayim. Because of that, you know, since each one has elements of truth to it, b'shas hadchak, you can be lenient sometimes, even like opinions that we normally would not paskin like. So says the Taz over here, if we're not going to be making on the chadash, we're literally, during certain months of the winter, going to have nothing to eat. So the Taz says, over here, Ois Yud Beis, in Yoredei HaSukkot and Dalet, Mikol Mokom Nir Lefi Ani Azdaiti, a few, 8 lines from the bottom, L'lamin Tzchus Hogun Al Heter Bazet, Ahach Isra Chodosh, B'chutz La'aretz, who plugged the Tanoitz of Machlekes Tanoim. The Gemara doesn't conclude one way or the other. We should have passed like the Tanakhama as opposed to Rabbi Elazar, because Yachid v'Rabim Malachik Rabim. Valken Vade Kedai Hu Tanakhama Shurab Elazar the Hachalis Mechala B'Shas Achak. It's Kedai, the Tanakhama is a worthy opinion, and we can rely on him B'Shas Hadchak, and perhaps they're relying in the Minhag Ha'olam. Was to be Mekel was relying on this. Okay. So says the Taz, maybe that's what we're relying upon. Again, this is a very bold move. What you're basically saying is, even though we really paskin like Rabbi Elazar, we're going to go back and open up a machlekes tanoim and perhaps paskin in a different way. That is, we don't do that every, on a regular basis. Go back to machlekes tanoim, pask in a different way than all of the other Rishayim, all the Rishayim concluded, you know, beforehand, and or, you know, in the way that it appears in Shulchan Aruch. That is a very bold suggestion, but that was a suggestion that was made by the Mishkan Yisakov and the Taz. And by the way, that just speaks to the gravity of the issue that they were dealing with and the problem that they were dealing with. This is a very bold move. They must have had a tremendous amount of pressure that was pushing them to do this. The Arzarua, already from the period of the Rishayim, at the end of the period of Mishayim, has a somewhat different approach, another tzadukula. Over here, Ozayim. There's a Rua suggests, you know, until now, it seems like the Machlekes Tanoim over here is Machlekes on a level of Deiraisa, and there really isn't any middle ground. According to the Tanakama, Chodosh does not apply Chutz Laaretz at all. It's entirely Mutter, even Midoraisa. Midoraisa, Midorabanan. According to Rabbi Lazar, Chodosh applies in Chutz Laaretz, and it's also Midoraisa, based on the Pasuk, Deiraisechem, Becholmash Veisechem. However, the Gemara Maseches Menachos, in the course of its discussion there, raises the possibility that perhaps Chodesh applies in Chutz Laaretz, but maybe it's only Yosem Midrabanan. Over here, Ois Beis, five lines down, the Gemara, in the course of its discussion about figuring out when the Chodesh should be permitted in Chutz Laaretz, says, well, maybe Chodesh b'Chutz Laaretz Dirabanan. Maybe Chodesh in Chutz Laaretz is only Yosem Midrabanan. So maybe according to Rabbi Lazar, even the way that we paskin, right? The Chodesh is Asur in Chutz Laaretz, maybe it's not Asur in Deraisa, maybe it's Asur in Derabanan. And that's the argument that's made by the Orzarua. Again, this is not like the Rav Rishayim seem to assume that it's Asur in Deraisa. The Orzarua suggests, because it's based on the Pasuk, Deraisechem, for all generations, B'chol Moish Veisechem, wherever you live, maybe it's only Asur in Derabanan. And based on this, the Orzarua says, V'nir Be'ena, Ani Amachaber, Lifsoi Kalacha, the Chodesh, Chutz Laaretz, Derabanan. Maybe the whole thing is Derabanan. V'sveika Derabanan Lakula. And when we're not sure, maybe this grain is from this year, you know, and it's the summer wheat. It was planted after Second Day Pesach. Maybe not. I don't know. If there's any kind of suffek, maybe you have the right to say suffek derabanan lekula in Chutz Laaretz, because maybe Chadash in Chutz Laaretz is only also midrabanan. That was the argument that was made by the Orzarua. That was his suggestion. It's a similar suggestion that the Rosh quotes in the name of the Sefer HaTruma, Rabbi Baruch. The Rosh is not happy about it. He disapproves of it. But the Sefer HaTruma suggested the following. Over here, Ois Ches, V'divrei Rabbi Baruch Ma'ed Heim Temuim. The Rosh is surprised at that which the Sefer HaTruma said. What did he say? Shakasa, V'afilu Em Gadol Bershutz Yisrael Atu B'Chutz Laaretz. If you have Chadash that grows in Chutz Laaretz, She'einan Usmuchim Laaretz Yisrael. Though in the lands that are not adjacent to Eretz Yisrael in Europe, Nira Lahatir. We can be lenient. Dulo Gadzer V'afilu Midrabanan. They weren't Gadzer there Midrabanan. Only in the lands that are samuch to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning he assuming that the Isser of Chadash and Chutz Laaretz is only Yasser Midrabanan. And why would they Yasser Midrabanan? Because you might come to import it into Eretz Yisrael. See, Chadash and Eretz Yisrael is for sure Yasser Midrabanan until the second day of Pesach. But they, and if you're going to allow, but Chadash and Chutz Laaretz is really mutter. But Midrabanan, they prohibit it because if you're going to allow Chadash and Chutz Laaretz to be permitted, it might seep its way into Eretz Yisrael and get confused with the Chadash that's in Eretz Yisrael. So you can have some people saying Chadash is Mutter because it's Chadash of Chutz Laaretz, and instead of being Mat to the Chadash of Chutz Laaretz, it's going to be Mat to the Chadash of Eretz Yisrael. So in the Aratzos Hasmuchos Eretz Yisrael, in the adjacent lands to Eretz Yisrael, they said, no, you guys, you got to keep Chadash like we have it in Eretz Yisrael, because if you're going to be lenient, you're going to import your products to Eretz Yisrael, and people are going to start, they're going to start eating the new wheat, thinking that it's from Chutz Laaretz, and it's really from Eretz Yisrael. So in the entire vicinity, the entire radius around Eretz Yisrael, the Aratzos Hasmuchos, they prohibited Chadash Midrabban, unless they come to enter into Eretz Yisrael and get confused with the Chadash of Eretz Yisrael, which is also Midrabanan. But in lands that are far away, that are not going to get imported into Eretz Yisrael, that are not going to get confused, so then says the Sefer HaTruma, Chadash was never prohibited there. So in the lands of Europe, they never prohibited Chadash, because they're not Aratzos Hasmuchos L'Eretz Yisrael. One could argue today, by the way, that, what are you talking about? That today we everything is Aratzos Hasmuchos L'Eretz Yisrael. If Chadash will be permitted, you know, even in faraway lands, from Chutz Laaretz, it might make its way into Eretz Yisrael and get confused with the new wheat of Eretz Yisrael, which is also Midrei Raisa. So one could argue today That, you know, that might have only been in the time when you had to travel on camel or donkey and get your wheat to Eretz Yisrael. So then there was only a certain radius where you can make it to Eretz Yisrael reasonably. Now we can ship stuff, and we have preservatives, and ship stuff from all over the world. So maybe the whole world is considered to be Aratzos HaSmuchos Eretz Yisrael. So the Sefer HaTrumah might not help us that much, but there were Aruch HaShulchan and many others adopted this approach of the Sefer HaTrumah in permitting Chadosh in Chutz La'aretz, because maybe it was only in the Aratzos HaSmuchos Eretz Yisrael. But it's based along the same lines of Dor HaRuah, that is Hasam Midr Rabbanan. And it's a Gzeira Midr Rabbanan, lest they come to get confused with the new grain of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so they have a few stabs over here, a few attempts to be a chink in the armor of the Chadosh and Chutz La'aretz. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's for sure also, it implies that it's also Midr Raisa. So already the Mishnah Tzadik said, well, maybe we could go back to Machlekes HaTanoim and renegotiate. Maybe we should go back and pass like the Tanakamo. Let's reopen that discussion, because we have a Mishnah Mesechtas Menachos and pass like the Tanakamo. Or there was Haruah, some of the other Rishonim said, nah, maybe Chadosh and Chutz La'aretz, even though it's Aser, maybe it's only Aser Midr Rabbanan, it can be made on Makom HaSafek, or maybe it can be made on lands that are far away from Eretz Yisrael. One other similar kind of suggestion was made by the Bach, that the Taz quotes over here, Ois Tes, in the name of his father-in-law, the Bach, says, Ken Kosov HaPaiskin Befer Shomari V'chami Kosov, Shei Shechacha Brura, De B'shal Oivet Kachav Emeinu Noheh Chadosh. The only time there's an Issa Chadosh is if it was grown by a Jew. If it was grown by a non-Jew, then there's no Chadosh, at least in Chutz La'aretz. At least in Chutz La'aretz. I don't know. Maybe meant in Eretz Yisrael too. I don't know. But it's only if it was grown by a Jew, not if it was grown by a Goy. Now, that's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says right there, Ois Tes, Isra Chadosh, and Yerodea, Samarit, Shadigimus of Beis, Isra Chadosh, Noi, Bein Bars, Bein Bechutz La'aretz, Bein Beshol Yisrael, Bein Beshol Evi Kachovin. But the Bach disagrees, and he says maybe it doesn't apply if it was grown by a non-Jew. Where did he get that from? So he's basing himself in the Gemara Mesechtas Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara asks, when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, where did they bring the first Omer from? Where did they get grain? Where did they bring the carbon Omer? So the Gemara says, Im Tomer, that I will be a Nachri, maybe they got it from the hand of a Nachri. That can't be. You cannot bring the carbon Omer from the wheat or from the grain of a Nachri, from the barley of a Nachri, because the Pasuk says, Kitzirchem, Reishis Kitzirchem, in Parashas Zema there, the arm has to be from the first of your cuttings. Kitzirchem, Amar Rachman, V'loi Kitzir Nachri. It has to be your cuttings and not the Nachri's cuttings. So it's only your fields, not his field. That's where the Omer, that's where the carbon Omer has to come from. So the Bach argues, it's a similar thing that the Mishnah Yaakov did, that the assumption, the same assumption the Mishnah Yaakov had, that wherever the carbon ha'omer comes from, that should be analogous to where, you know, how the Iser Chadosh is defined. So the Mishnah Yaakov said, well, if the carbon ha'omer can only be brought from wheat in Eretz Yisrael, Iser Chadosh only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, the Bach is saying, if the carbon ha'omer can only be brought from grain that's grown by a Jew, that stands to reason, Shtel Zechfar, that the Iser Chadosh only applies to grain that's grown by a Jew, not to grain that's grown by a non-Jew. He's assuming the Yisrael Chadosh parallels, the wheat that was used for the carbon oimer. Just like the wheat that was used for the carbon oimer had to be grown by a Jew, so to the Yisrael Chadosh had to be, it only applies on produce that's grown by a Jew. The Shulchan Aruch does not subscribe to the Bach, perhaps because Tosfos and Masechtas Kiddushin cites a Yerushalmi that argues this connection is not necessarily so. The carbon oimer has to be brought from grain that's grown by a Jew. But the Issa Chadosh might apply to grain even that's grown by non-Jews. Just because the carbon oimer has to be brought from grain that's grown by a Jew, who's to say necessarily that the Issa Chadosh, you know, doesn't apply to grain that's grown by non-Jews? So over here writes Tosfos, Ois Gimel, Ubiushalmi Nami Mashma, the Chadosh Noeg, Af Bishal, Oivdei Kechavim. It even applies with the grain of Avdei Kachavim. There is not necessarily a connection between the kind of grain that's used for the carbon item and the kind of grain that's prohibited with regards to the Isser of Chadosh. However, this het of the Bach received a lot of attention. The Be'er HaGoyla, that's the, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, provides Mar Mekaymes. So over here he writes, U'masha hikilu bazeh roiv rabbanan kishishoy kadmoy, that which many were makel already in Doris HaKadmoinim, to have Chadosh and Chutz La'aretz, Bahari Medinas, Nironi, Asdaiti, Shesam, Chayushami, Reish Mesech, Tzchawa, the Mishani, that seems to imply that the Isav Chadosh doesn't apply to the fields of Avdei Kerchovim. Tosfos obviously had a different reading of that Yushalmi, because it's the same Yushalmi they're citing, but the Be'er HaGoyla, the Bach, assumed that just like the carbon Ha'omer can only be brought from grain that was grown by a Jew, so to the Isav Chadash only applies to grain that was grown by a Jew. The Vilna Gaon in his Bir HaGra there cites the Ber HaGoyla. The Ber HaGoyla preceded him. I think they were related. I think it was his great-grandfather or something. So he writes, look at the last few words. V'toiva havalei leber hagoyla kan hashtika. Would have been better if the Ber HaGoyla had been quiet and not said anything, instead of endorsing the Bach. So he doesn't think we should paskin like this Bach. Many paskin, many relied on the Bach, but many were upset about this Bach. They don't think that it's accurate. It's true. It's not correct. The Isav Chadash applies even to grain that's grown by a non-Jew. There are different strains of thought within the Chassidish community about how there isn't one approach that's uniform across all different parts of the Chassidish world. Some are more machmer, some a little bit more lenient. What's interesting is it seems to go back to two shmuas, two traditions in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. Look over here, Oizid Aleph. Sefer Baal Shem Tov, which is a collection from other Sfarim of Talmidim of the Baal Shem. So it says over here, Baal Shem Tov shal b'chaloimoy al chadash b'zman hazeh. The Baal Shem Tov had a chaloim, I assume some sort of mystical spiritual experience. And he asked, what's the story with chadash b'zman hazeh? Echadin, v'anu oisai. And they responded, I don't know what the day is, you use your imagination. Shal ra'achar p'tiras habach. After the death of the Bach was a little bit after the Ramah, he's buried in a cemetery in Krakow, end of the 1500s, beginning of the 1600s, a great goyin, so lived a little bit before the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov said he saw that the fires of Gehenim were frozen 40 days in the course of the Bach. So he's understood from this, the Bach deserves a tremendous amount of kavod. Kedai hu ha-Bach lismay cholov. So the Bach is kedai to rely upon. He asked them to bring beer from the new wheat, even though right, it wasn't Second Day Pesach, and he drank it. The Bach is worthy, Pesach to rely on. However, right after that, in the Sefer Baal Shem Tov, quotes from another one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem, that the Baal Shem Tov was machmir. Some say he was chayzer. That later on in his life, he ended up being machmir. Maybe it was a personal chumra, maybe not a personal chumra. In the end of the day, the Avnei Nezer is a tshuva about this. Chadosh. Today, he cites there that the Chayzer Milublin was Mako. But I believe the Chayzer Milublin was a descendant of the Bach. So he felt he had a relationship with the Bach. So the Chayzer felt he could rely on the Bach. But there are different Paiskim, different Tzaddikim, and different generations, not only the Chassidic community beyond, had different approaches over here. The minig was to be meiko. Some a little bit more than others. The Mishnah Berurah quotes all these studim lekula over here in Hilchos Pesach. Look back, Oizvav. He quotes mikol makom roiv ha'olam ein nizhar in klal b'yisr chadosh. The minig ha'olam is not to be nizhar in chadosh and chutz laaretz. V'yesh olam d'leim schus. There are those who are melamed schus because it's quite difficult and maybe chadosh and chutz laaretz is only yasam in the rabbanon. He cites the Sefer Truma from the Truvas HaRosh. Then he cites the Bach. So he says, if you have a Jewish farmer, so you have to, maybe there's a little bit more room to be machmir according to the Bach. Okay, so we have a number at Stadim Lekula. One is, let's go back to the Machlokes HaTanoim and reopen that, let's open that negotiation again. Maybe we should pass like the Tanakhama. That was the Mishnah Yisakov and the Taz. Maybe the Or Zeruah, Sefer Truma, or we're dealing with the Nisim the Rabbanon, we should say Savi the Rabbanon Lekula. Or maybe it's only the Aratzas HaSmuch HaSeret Zizero, Zigzero, lest the Chadash of Chutzarts make its way into Eretz Yisrael and get confused. Or we have the Bach. That maybe it only applies to lands that are produce that's grown by a Jew and not produce that's grown by a non-Jew. Chutz Laaretz, obviously, not much of it will be grown by non-Jews. However, the Ramah has his own kula. Suggestion over here, Oysud Beis, in Yeridea. Says the Ramah, Umikom Mokoim, Stam Tvua, let's see the Shochanar. Shochanar says, Tvua Shlo Hishrisha, in which kind of grain becomes permitted on the second day of Pesach if it took root? Before the second day of Pesach is permitted, even if you didn't harvest it yet, right? So all the winter wheat that's planted in the fall, harvested in the late spring, is all permitted, even though you didn't harvest it yet, because it all took root before the second day of Pesach. So tvua shalai hishrisha kaidim mutez zayin benisan asura ad shiyaviya oimer haba. If it took root after the second day of Pesach, that means it was planted, within 3 days of second day of Pesach, it takes 3 days to take root. So if it took root after second day of Pesach, like the summer wheat, that's prohibited. The winter wheat, that would be all permitted, because it all took root before the second day of Pesach. The Ramah says that they were lenient on the summer wheat, though. What was the tzavakula? So says the Rama, Mikol Makon, Kol Stam Tvua Shari Lachar Pesach. All Tvua, all grain is mutter after Pesach, Mikoyach Sveik Sveika. There's a double doubt. A double doubt. What's the double doubt? Safek he Mishana Shavra. Maybe it's old wheat from another year, right? From a year old, right? They could preserve wheat in silos. I don't know where this wheat come. Maybe it's from 2 years ago. Safek he Mishana Shavra. V'im Tim Sagoim Mishana Zu. And if you say it's from this year, Mikomokum Dilma Nishusha Kaidim Ha'imer. Maybe it took root before the carbon ha'imer. So maybe it's from this season. It's from seasons ago. Or maybe it's from this season. But it just took root before the carbon ha'imer. Meaning it was planted before the second day of Pesach, 3 days before the second day of Pesach, and therefore it took root before the carbon ha'imer, and therefore it's permitted. So it's a sveik sveika. That's what the Rama was relying on. Rabbi Kiva Ega there is quick to pounce on the Rama. He quotes him a chuvas mutzul meyesh, that is an illegal maneuver. That's not a kosher sveik sveika. That's what's known as a sveik sveika mishem echad. It's really all the same suffix. What's the suffix? Is this old or is it new? Is it from before this year, second day Pesach? Or is this from after second day Pesach? Meaning, there's just two varieties of it, but it's all the same thing, that either it's from a previous year, meaning before this year, second day Pesach, or it's from this year, but it took root before second day Pesach. At the end of the day, it's all the same thing. Tama, Hashem Oynes Chadhu D'Magli Mishana Sha'aver, Magli Mishana Zu, Kaidim Ha'imer. What difference does it make whether it's from a previous year or it's from this year? In the end of the day, it's all the same thing. It all boils down to the same thing. A sveik sveika mishem echad is no good. This is a rule that Taisus establishes in Masechtas Ksubis. One of the most difficult sugyas in Shas, but this part is not so thorny. The Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubis Tesamid Aleph, the practice used to be in the times of the Gemara that couples, would have the first stage of marriage known as Kiddushin, then wait a year for them to get prepared for the marriage, give her time to be Mechon herself, and then have Nisuin a year later, when they would actually start living together. But Kiddushin, Harei HaMikudeshesli, that whole story happened a year before the Nisuin, before the Chuppah, before they started living together. From the point of the Kiddushin, although, already, she's an Eishes Ish, with all that that entails, right? Except for some of the, you know, the things that follow from living together. But, you know, all the prohibitions that come about as a result of that already are in force at that point. So if she has, an affair, in the year between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, she's an Eishes Ish Zincha, she'll be put to death, and she's prohibited, Asel Abal v'Asel Abayel. She's not allowed to be with the man she had the relationship with, and she's not allowed to return to her husband. An Eishes Ish Zincha is prohibited to return to her husband. So let's say a husband, a man, a chassan, marries a young lady, Kiddushin. He presumes she's a psula. They wait a year, then there's Nisuin. And after the B.S. Mitzvah, he says, no, she wasn't a psula. Ha'aymer Pesach Pasuach Masasi. I found that she wasn't a psula. There were no more psulim. Nemala Yisraelov. She's prohibited to remain with him. Because, presumably, she was a psula when he had Kiddushin. When did she have this affair? In that year, in between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. That makes her an Eishes Ish Zincha. She's prohibited to remain with her husband. So ha'aymer Pesach Pasuach Masasi. Nemala Yisraelov. So Frank the Gemara, why is she prohibited to him, even if he says, Pesach Patsuach Matsasi? Amai, Sveik Sveikahu. It's a double doubt. What's the double doubt? We don't know when she had this affair. Maybe it was in the previous year. Safek Tachtov, Safek Ein Tachtov. Maybe it happened earlier. Even if it happened within that year, though, Im Tim Seleimar Tachtov, Safek Aines, Safek Ratzin. Maybe she was consensual. Maybe she was raped. If she's raped, so then she's permitted to return to her husband. She's not an Eishes Ish Zincha Berotzen, right? Lunar Losasa Dovar. She's permitted to return to her husband. So it's a double doubt. Maybe this happened before the Kiddushin. He assumed she was a psula. Maybe there was an incorrect assumption, in which case she's permitted to him, right? Maybe it happened, maybe she was a psula and happened during that year, but another doubt is, well, maybe it was Ba'inus. In which case she's permitted to return to the husband. The Gemara concedes the point. The Gemara says, you're right. The statement, Ha'omer Pesach Batsuach Masasi Nemel Yisraelov, is only true in two instances. Where there is no Safek Sveik, or where there is no double doubt. Where are those two instances? Either an Eishes Kayin, because an Eishes Kayin, tragically, even if she is raped, is not permitted to return to her husband. because anytime a woman has a relationship where there is no tfisas kiddushin, a woman cannot be married to a second man, only one at a time, or a non-Jew by then, you know, for the same token. So if she has a relationship with either one of those individuals, she's labeled as a zayna and prohibited to be with a kohen, even if it was against her will, even if she's then, so tragically, she's prohibited to return to her husband. An eishes kohen, you only have one doubt. Let's say there was kiddushin, the year later is in Yisuh, and he says, Pesach Patsuach Matzasi. Nemar Leisraelov. You know why? There's only one doubt. What's the doubt? Tachtov or not Tachtov? Maybe it was before he ever met her. Maybe it was after the Kiddushin. You don't have a double doubt, though. Because even if it was Ba'inus, they're still prohibited to remain together. Not because of Eishes Ishizinsa, but because she's a Zaina, because she had relations with a man who she has no Tfisas Kiddushin. She cannot marry because you can only marry one man at a time. So Eishes Kayin, okay. Or the Gemara says, if she was kibel ba'avia kiddushin b'chusami ba'azgim o'shanu v'yoyimecha. What that's talking about is, and the Shidduch crisis was so bad, that they used to marry the girls off at 2 years old. 2 years old. Obviously, they didn't get married. The nisuin, the kiddushin happened at two. The nisuin didn't happen at three. The nisuin happened when she was 15 or 16 or whatever. You know, an age fit for marriage. Not at two. So instead of waiting a year, they waited a decade. Right? A real arranged marriage. But then there was this huge time gap in between. But that also means the window, right, when she could have had relations, has also got expanded. But what that does is it removes the possibility of Ein Tachtov. You know why? Because if she had relations at 2 years old, if it was not when she was already married to him, the Besulim would return. The Gemara has a tradition that the Besulim, if a girl has relations less than 3 years old, the Besulim would return. They only don't return if she has relations after she's 3 years old. And here the father accepted Kiddushin at the age of two. At the age of two. So if she had relations earlier, the Besulim would have returned. So when the Chassan marries her, when she's 16, 17, whatever age, and he says, Pesach Patsuach Masasi, how many Sveikas do we have? You know, he's Neman Oisaro, because we don't have a Sveika. There is no double doubt. We only have one doubt. What's the doubt? Oines or Ratzon. Maybe it was Ba'oines, and they're permitted to be together. Maybe it was Baratzen. Maybe she did it consensually. And they're prohibited to be together. She's an Asian since she's in. So you don't have a double doubt. Well, maybe it was Baratzen, but it happened before they ever met. Because if it happened before they met, or before they got engaged, you know, before they got betrothed, the Besulim would have returned. Because they got betrothed at the age of two. So, okay, we only have one doubt. So where is it? Where does the statement, however, Pesach Pesach Masasi Namal Israel, where does that apply? That applies only in these two scenarios of an Eishes Kayin or Kibo Ba'avua Kiddushin B'chusim Mibaz Gimel Shan V'yamecha. Fine. Where there's no Sfek Seika, there's only one Sfek. Frak Taisa Zakasha, Taisa says, what are you talking about? Even by the Ketana of Kibo Ba'avua Kiddushin B'chusim Mibaz Gimel Shan V'yamecha, there is a double doubt. There is a double doubt. There is a Sfek Seika. What's the Sfek Seika? Remember, she's engaged or betrothed from the age of 2 to the age of 16. So when did she have, and he wakes up at the, you know, the Nisuin at 16, he says, Pesach Patsuach Masasi. Now, it couldn't have happened before two, it would have returned. So it happened sometime in the interim over here. So where's this fake Sveika? Maybe it was Oines, maybe it was Baratzen, I don't know, but Mitoich HaSafek, he's not allowed to be with his wife. He's not allowed to be with the woman that he's betrothed to. So there's no double doubt. Tosafot says, no, there is a double doubt. What's the double doubt? Maybe it happened when she was 14, and she was raped. She was Nansa. Maybe it happened Baratzen. Maybe it was consensual, but she was 6. Maybe she did it. She was 6, 7, 8. So she was less than 12, right? Beratzin, she was less than 12. So the Gemara has a statement in Mesechtes Yevamos, Pitoi Ketana Einesu. If you seduce a Ketana and encourage a Ketana to have relations, that's the equivalent of rape, statutory rape. Pitoi Ketana Einesu. Even though it's consensual, it's statutory rape. So it says, Taisus, fake, fake. Maybe it was real rape over the age of 14. And even if it was consensual, maybe it was statutory rape. At the age of 6, Pito Ektano Einesu, Sveik Sveika. So Tosfos says, that's not a Sveik Sveika. Sveik Sveika is only when there's two different doubts that exist. Here there's only one. It boils down to all the same thing. And what is that? Suffolk Einus, Suffolk Rotson. Einus can come in two varieties. There's rape and there's statutory rape. But at the end of the day, it boils down to the same thing. They're really the same, similar. Obviously, they're very different, you know, in terms of the emotional impact, but it boils down to the same crime, right? Same thing. Einus. Same consequence. Over here in Halacha, at least, that she's permitted to be with her husband. But it's either Einus Rotson, Einus comes in two varieties, but that's not a fake Sveika. Taisa says that's shame Einus Chadhu. So too, similarly, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, over here with regards to the Chadash, you have two varieties of Yashan. Either it's Yashan from previous season, or Yashan because it was Nishrash this season, but it was Nishrash before Second Day Pesach. But either way, it's Yashan. It means it's before Second Day Pesach. What do I care that it comes in two different varieties? That's not a sfeik at all. That's not a sfeik at all. However, it could be that the Ramah argues with Taisvis, because the Rambam seems to argue with Taisvis. The Rambam in Hilchos Isurei Biyah has a perplexing psak where he rejects this entire Gemara Masechta Sivamis. The Rambam rejects statutory rape. The Rambam says that if you have a katana who's 7 years old, who's betrothed, and she has relations with another man, is prohibited to return to her husband. Why? She's not a bar consent. She can't give consent. She's a minor. Statutory rape, pitoy katana, seducing a katana is the equivalent of inus. If a girl's nensa, she's permitted to return to her husband. So why does the Rambam feel that this katana is prohibited to return to her husband? And that's what the Ravid asked. Lo yadati lama neseres al bayo Yisrael. Shreyamu pitoy katana inusu. Pitoy katana is an inus. So Magen Mishnah says the Rambam disagrees with that, rejects that Gemara Nifamus exactly because of Taisus Kasha. He rejects this concept, this Gemara Masechta Sivamis, because he was so bothered with Taisus Kasha. If Pitoy Ketana is Zainasu, how can the Gemara say that if her father accepts Kiddushim, Chusim Ibaz Gimel Shana V'Yayim Echad, and then they get married later on at the age of 16, and the husband wakes up at that point and he says, Pesach Patuach Masasi Nemer Lo Yisraelov, he shouldn't be believed to prohibit his wife to remain with him, because it's a sfeik. What's the double doubt? Maybe it was ba'inus, maybe it was baratzon, and even if it was baratzon, maybe it happened when she was a katana, bitoy katana ainusu. So because of that sfeika, which is mishem echad, the Rambam threw out the Gemara, Masechta Sivamis. The Rambam said, we don't paskin, bitoy katana ainusu, because the Rambam believes that it's sfeika, mishem echad. If it's two varieties of the same suffix, even if it's two varieties of the same suffix, the Rambam believes that is a valid sfeika, and we could be lenient. So even though it is a sfeik mishem echad, the Rambam believes that that is a valid sfeika, as long as we can somehow distinguish, you know, the suffix and to phrase it in somewhat two different ways. Einus, you know, comes in two varieties. There's one einus of an adult, right, who's raped against their will without consent. And then there's the consenting minor, which is statutory rape. So the Rambam feels those are two separate sfeikas. And therefore we should have permitted the katana, the kibbutz ba'kiddushin, p'kusim ibas gimel shana v'yayim echad. The Rambam was forced, therefore, to say that pitoy katana is not einus, because of this question. So it could be the Rambam feels that sfeik and mishem echad is valid. It seems that the Rambam hears Loshitasa, because there's a big discussion in the Rishonim. Why are we lenient in a sfeika? Why is a double doubt treated than any other doubt? Right? Rabbi said, we have a rule. Safik d'iraisa l'chumra. Safik d'iraisa l'chumra. Why are we more lenient when there's a double doubt as opposed to a single doubt? So the Rashba has a well-known tshuva where the Rashba says, we make on a sfeika because it's like a roiv. It's a majority. How is a sfeik sfeika like a roiv? So the Pnei Yeshua, Masechta Ksubos, explains that it's the roiv of logical possibilities, right? What are the logical possibilities over here when a man wakes up a year later after the Kiddushin and he says, Pesach Patsuach Masasi? So we have a double doubt. What does that mean? We don't know when she had relations with the other man. Maybe it was before he ever met her. Maybe it was after he met her. After he met her, it's a problem. If it's before he met her, it's not a problem. But even if he met her, right, if it's after he met her, maybe it was not consensual. And was bainus. Maybe it was baratzon, maybe it was bainus. So there's really four possible permutations, right, over here. Maybe it happened before, and there it could either be baratzon or bainus. Maybe it happened after, and there it could be baratzon or bainus. So we only have four possibilities. Three of them are permitted, right, in your chart, if you would make right, a box, bainus, baratzon, tachtov, ein tachtov, three out of the four boxes would be permitted. Three out of the four logical possibilities would be permitted. Ein Tachtov, right, before they ever met. Einus and Ratzon are both permitted. That's two possibilities. Tachtov, you have Einus and Ratzon. So even Tachtov, Einus is permitted. It's only if it's Ratzon. So three out of the four logical possibilities are permitted. So then, that's why Sfeik is permitted. Permitted mitam Roiv of the logical possibilities. Then, if that's the pshat, Taisa's argument makes a lot of sense. That's only if it's the Sfeik, that's not Mishem Echad. If the whole thing boils down to one suffix, Einus Ratzon, so then, right, which is what we have with the Kibbutz Ba'avir Kiddushin P'kusim Ibaz Gimel Shana V'Yayim Echad, there's two different kinds of inus. There's inus of non-consent, there's inus of statutory rape, but at the end of the day, it's all the same thing. There's only two logical possibilities. Then we go back to Safik D'iraisa L'chumra. It's only if it's really two sfeikas that I can make an actual box. then you can say Sveik Sveika. But if it boils down to the same thing, it doesn't make sense because there's not, there aren't any logical possibilities over here. It all boils down to Einus and Ratzon. Then the Rebbe Kiva Eger's argument makes sense. It's either all Yashan or it's Chadash. We don't know. Safik Dairais Lechumra. However, the Rambam believes Sveik Sveika Mishem Echad is a valid Sveik Sveika. The Rambam has a whole different shot in Sveik Sveika. The Rambam over here in Hilchos Tumas Meis gives a whole different explanation why Sveik Sveika is permitted. And that is because the Rambam believes when the Torah told us mitzvahs, it only said it in absolutes. It didn't say it in doubtful situations. When the Torah says tzitzis, it means vaday tzitzis. When the Torah says tefillin, it means vaday tefillin. When the Torah says basa b'chalav is prohibited, it means, you know, certain basa b'chalav. If there's a doubt, it's permitted. The only reason we're machmir in Safik Dairaisa is because Safik Dairaisa is a din midrabanan. Safik Dairaisa should have been lakula. We're machmir in a Safik Dairaisa is itself a din derabanan. That itself is a din derabanan. So therefore, Beni Achrayim, the Prima Gadim, explains that according to the Rambam, the reason why we're making on a Sveik Sveika is because a double doubt makes it a Safik on that din derabanan that we should be machmir in a Safik Dairaisa. Only machmir safik deraisa itself is a din derabanan. So if I have a safik, whether I actually have a safik deraisa here, that itself is a safik on a derabanan. So we say safik derabanan lakula. If I also a double doubt is really a safik derabanan lakula. But if that's the case, it's not, it has nothing to do with logical possibilities. It could be however we phrase a sveik sveika. It could even be if we, you know, just two different kinds of varieties of the same safik. Maybe that also qualifies as a Sveik Sveika and a Safik Darabana Lakula, and therefore we could be Mako. And that's why the Rambam feels Sveik Sveika Mishem Echad, even if it all boils down to the same two logical possibilities, it's not based on Rav of the logical possibilities, it's based on a double, you know, one doubt and then another doubt. And that creates a Safik Darabana Lakula in which we could be Mako, and maybe that's why the Rambam was lenient, you know, on the Sveik Sveika over here by Chadash and Chutz La'aretz. However, it could be that what the Rambam means is not this at all. Sveik Sveika Mishem Echad is really a controversial issue. Maybe what the Rambam means is much more straightforward, and it's what Tosfos writes in Masechtas Kiddushin. Rabbi say, look back, he's Gimel. Tosfos says that you could be Mako in Chutz La'aretz with regards to a lot of the Chadash, because Rav, or with regard, I'm not with regards to the Chadash, with regards to the wheat, if you're not sure of its identity, because Rav of the wheat is Yashan. Says Tosfos, near the Chadash Noig Bizmanazeh. If you know with certainty, if you know that it was planted after the second day Pesach, you have to be machmir. But misafek and lesar, you don't have to worry about if it's a safek. Kevan the roiv hasa'irim nizru kaidem tazayin benisan. Most of the barley was planted before second day Pesach, meaning most of the grains on the market are yashan. The majority is yashan. The majority is Yashan. And maybe that's all the Rambam meant to say with his Sveik Sveik and the whole thing, is that, no, what it means is there's so much Yashan out there, right? And even if it's from this year, maybe it was Nisra Kaidim on second day Pesach, and therefore the majority of it that's out there is Yashan. And therefore you don't have to be as concerned. The Ramban, why? Right? Maybe it's a Suffolk. So a Suffolk, you should have to be Mavayar. So Ramban writes in his Mochamas over here, Masechtas Kulin, even though when we have a Suffolk, we should try and be Mavayar if it's possible. If it's such a minority, it's less than, you know, a miyot hamatzoy, a significant minority, it's less than 10%, you don't have to be concerned with even with that. You don't even have to do any kind of investigation. You could just be Mako Minastam. You could assume, you know, that we're lenient. We apply this with regards to checking for treifus. There are 18 treifus in an animal that are mentioned by the Mishnah Masechtas Chulin. We only check for one of them, and that's a hole in the lung. And the Ramban, the Rishonim, explained the reason why we only check for that one, because that's the only one that occurs with some regularity. It occurs, you know, more than 10% of the time. But if it occurs less than that, you really don't have to check for it. You don't have to check for it. That's why checking for shatnez is a big chumrah. Rive of the suits, how often do you find shatnez in a suit? Less than 10% of the time. I found shatnez twice. One time I should have known. But one time, I told you, it says on the label, wool linen. The other time is, I happened to come across it in a suit. But maybe three times. But it's rare. It's rare that you check a suit and you find shatnez. Some people, you buy certain kinds of suits are known. You can find out now, you know, before you ever buy it, to, you know, whether it's likely to have shatnez or not. But it's rare. So we check. It's a chumrah. But you really don't have to because it's such a far-fetched minority. Such an insignificant minority. We don't have to check for it. So maybe what the Rambam meant over here is this overwhelming majority of the grain that's in the market is yashan, and therefore you don't have to be concerned. You don't have to be concerned about it. The Mishnah Berurah just concludes, and we'll conclude in a similar way. The Mishnah Berurah says, when many tzaddikim look back, We can't be meich against those who are meikel. Mikol makom kol bal nefesh la yismoch al haterim halalu. The Mishnah Berurah says a bal nefesh should be machmir. And there always were tzaddikim who are machmir on this issue. Today it's much easier to be machmir on yashan because there's a lot of information that's out there, and you can it's much more available. And therefore, you know, it's easier to find out. Either way, it's only an issue really in a few months in the winter time when the summer wheat starts to make it to market. So, you know, around now, everything is going to be yashan. It isn't it even a big issue, but it becomes an issue somewhat in the winter time. And there were always tzaddikim who were machmir. There were always tzaddikim. Minhag Olam always was to be meikel. But I spent when I finished Kol Elyon, Rav Shechter was trying to help me find a job. So he first initially suggested maybe I should go to Johannesburg, and there was an opening there on the Beis Din, wanted me to serve as a dayan. He was so nice, and he was trying to help me. So there was also an opening at the OU. There was a person there who researched all the tshuvas, researched all the shailas, and then presented one day a week. Rabbi Shechter was there. Rabbi Shechter always went. I think always goes on Friday. Rabbi Belsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, always used to go on Thursday. They would present them with the different shilas, and Rabbi Belsky would respond on Thursday. Rabbi Shechter would respond on Friday. So this person who had this job of researching the shilas and then writing them up in the Truvis was leaving. He was going to run the CRC kosher division in Chicago. So there was an opening there. Shechter thought that it would be something that I would be suitable for. So I went to try it out. So I didn't need to spend time with Rav Shechter on Friday. So I went to spend time with Rabbi Belsky on Thursday. And I spent the whole day together with Rabbi Belsky, which was unbelievable. He was such a knowledgeable, really breathtaking experience. But he was a Bucky Nifla in this inyan of Yah. I mean, he was a Bucky Nifla in Mitzias of everything, not only in Halacha Mitzias. He knew which states grew wheat and winter wheat and summer wheat. So he explained to me at the time that winter wheat is low in gluten. So it's used in products that don't need to be chewy, like crackers and cereals. Summer wheat is high gluten. So that's used in breads and pasta and pizza and all those different kinds of things. So he said the summer wheat, yashan is a much bigger issue in those kinds of bagels and breads and pastas than it is in crackers and cookies and cake. That's almost, all winter wheat is always yashan because it's always planted before Pesach and never makes it to market until after Pesach. The only issue is the summer wheat, this kind of high gluten, high gluten summer wheat. That's where you have a bigger issue, and but even there, right? A lot of it could be from previous years, and we have all the different sfeikas and all the different things that people have reasons to be mako. But it is it is a little bit more available today. It is a little bit easier today. So there are some great tzaddikim. There are some great tzaddikim who always wear machmer.